So, okay, it's time for Xtrix update. So, one who haven't heard about Xtrix anything, it's just SDR and mini PCI Express form factor. It's 30 by 50 millimeters, really small board. And we tried to use PCI Express two lanes to get the maximum performance up to 10 gigabit per second raw bus speed. We use LMS 7002 RFIC, and actually we're using two channels, so we do MIMO here. And as all our SDRs was, we use GPSDO on board. So we started our first Umtrix SDR, and it has GPSDO, so we're still using GPSDO on board, so it's our feature. We also try to put clock synchronization and all the stuff like GPO, SIM cards. So it, you can see it's really packed. So there's no more space to add extra features. So what's inside? So we use Artix currently 35 FPGA, where we have SIM-PHY, so it's SIM level translation chip. We have a GPS module for GPSDO, but it can also produce UART GPS data if you need. Actually, since we're using PCI Express device, it has a really low jitter and a really low latency. It's really easy to make like network E1588 clock source for the network because it has a GPS. So, but PCI Express is not mini PCI Express card specification says it has a PCI Express lane, one lane actually, and the second lane is optional. So we use both lanes, but not most motherboards support this feature. So for that, we develop special adapter. I'll speak later on. And for the motherboards who doesn't have a PCI lens routed at all, so we add a USB 2.5 chip. So it's like a last resort. If you don't have a PCI Express, you at least can do something using USB 2.0. Xtrix has 12 GPIOs, where 5 of them has different pairs. So it's LVDS. You can do like really high speed data on this GPIOs. Xtrix use a very efficient power system. I'll talk about later. And we use all bands available from LMS7 chips. And the main feature was to support the most possible sample rate we can do. So it's above 100. So it's actually a third talk at Osmo DevCon. The first talk was actually in 2016. So I'll try to reconstruct chronicle events during our development. So it's been a long while actually for developing and polishing things, but finally we are closer to final revision, final production. So as you can see, there was several samples, and we weren't happy with something. We'll try to improve and it seems we are like putting a second system effect, like our Xtrix is second system, second SDR. And when you're doing second system, it's always easier to get into endless improvements. So, but what issues we're fighting with? So as I said, we try to get as maximum sample rate as possible. So like LMS7 documentation says, it's in a theoretically it can do 160 mega samples. So and we thought that we can do it easily in our first revision. Turn out that's not really achievable because even a 400 mega sample rate It means it's 200 megahertz DDR signal on LML, on a Lime bus, and the Lime interface is CMOS, and the CMOS on that speed is really tricky. Typical DDR RAM, DDR2 RAM, for example, use a different PHY interface for that. But what we managed to do in our board, it's 90 megasamples for MIMO and 120 for CISO. And if you do some black magic, say that word, you can do a significant more. So what is the kind of black magic here? We introduce extra DC-DC for manipulating so-called VIO. Voltage IO interface, we can change it dynamically from 1 to 3.3 volts, so it's for both doing optimal performance and optimal power usage for your application. So if you're doing like low sample rate, you can reduce voltage and it will give you extra power savings. And when you do need the maximum performance, so you can increase this voltage. But what we noticed in our design, doing more than 90 megasamples in MIMO, it stops working when the temperature rises. So, and what I achieved currently is 115 megasamples per second in MIMO mode, but it works until 30 degrees of Celsius, so you need to actively cool the whole system to work with. And moreover, you need to do special calibration. So what kind of calibration I'm talking about? So it's all about DDR signal. Initially, DDR signal need to know special time to latch its data on the bus. So in it's called like phase delay. Actually, DDR3 RAM, for example, has built-in mechanism in FIES to actually find the best optimal point for this latch. And DDR4 RAM is even more complex. They do like channel equalization for each bit and find the best like attenuation and other stuff. So we tried to do something similar here. So we wrote a special program that's doing LFSR stream over a parallel bus. And in the doing different phase difference, looking which data lane introduced some error, and based on that we can find the best optimal phase for the mode. So you can see in this 140 megasamples size mode, only like less two lanes bit. Number two and bit number one are more flickery and it reduces more like noise somehow. And these bits are actually limiting for that speed. If you are doing like 8-bit RF signal, you can increase the speed more since the last bits will be like rubbish. But it's not the only issues for high sample rate. And if you can get like 100 plus megasamples per second in hardware, doing it in software is a little challenging. For example, typical phosphor implementation on my laptop breaks at 65. It still can display something on more speeds, but it means they're constantly drop frames. So you can't see the picture in real time. So there need to be done more optimization here. Another part, it's really hard, no, not really hard, but it's challenging to get a 12-bit row streaming because 12-bit to 16-bit transformation at that point actually takes a lot of CPU. So I started to do special SMID instruction, but haven't done yet it because doing really optimal way is just tricky, so we'll release it later. And what we can really achieve from bus fiction. Actually, X2 PCIe 2.0 means 10 gigabits per second. It's what actual specification says, but it doesn't mean it's the actual payload you can achieve. Because first, it used 4-to-5-bit conversion on the L0 layer. So on L1 layer, you'll get like 8 gigabits per second. Then on a transaction layer, each transaction is up to 128 bytes maximum. On most systems, some modern Intel system and Xeon system can do with 256 bytes. But actually my laptop only 128. It gives some restriction and do it control channel and other stuff. That's all limiting up to like 6.8 gigabit. So it's not really like really efficient bus, but it's what you can really get. And our implementation of DMA is really efficient. So what I could achieve at 6.7 gigabits, so it's almost the theoretical limit. USB 3.0 is always the same picture. It says 5 gigabit per second, but it's only on net layer. So it does the same 4-to-5-bit conversion, and you'll get like 4 gigabit per second. So what we achieved in USB 3 mode, it's only 3.1, but I'll talk about it later. Another point was power optimization. Mini PCI Express form factor strictly declares 2.5 power consumption maximum. So when we did our first revision of board, we used 3 DC-DC channels and 2 LDOs, and it turned out so it was above 3 watts in most the most operational ways. So we found that we used a single LDO that was doing from 3.3 to 1.8 volts for LMS chip, and actually it was like almost a watt of heat dissipation. So we completely redesigned the whole power system for our board. Now it's 8 DC-DC channels, all programmable in software, so it has a I2C. You can do any voltage from 1.0 to 3.3, but you need to be very like accurate, because applying high voltage to low voltage network, you can just burn the chip. So you need to do like special care. That's why it's all hidden from software layer. So if you need to do modification, you need to just dig into like low layer library and try to tweak something. So we separate three DC-DC lines to especially to Lime chip. So Lime chip use like three power voltages, so we have a special channel for each of them to get the maximum power savings. And actually, the result is pretty good. For most cases, we are in the spec, but doing something crazy like doing MIMO channels, receiving and transmitting at the same time, doing preprocessing on the Lime chip, and achieving maximum sample rate, unfortunately, goes above the spec. But it's already impossible to improve it here. So another point, what we looked, although PCI Express is really a good bus, it's really a robust, low latency, it's really hard to work with, because most laptop nowadays doesn't have a mini PCI Express form factor. And the other point, Thunderbolt 3, is not really widespread yet. So as during previous year, Intel announced, so they like remove license fee for chip manufacturers for Thunderbolt 3, and it will be more open, open specs and so on. But still, there is not much Thunderbolt 3 in the consumer sector right now. So we have to stick for USB 3, especially for debugging, for developing, and for other convenience. So initially I thought that it was completely impossible to do transformation from USB 3 through PCI Express. But luckily we found USB 3480 chips. It was famous in special R&Ds for DMA attacks and some security research on PCI bus. So they use it for many uncommon use cases. So, but we used for exactly what it was developed for, doing conversion from PCI Express to USB. But since the bus is not transparent, you can't do like DMA to USB 3 endpoint transformation. You need to write a special layer of software compatibility. So we developed a special library. It's already published on our GitHub. So you can use port as on any other PCI Express device that you want to use over USB 3. And actually, the performance is okay. We were able to get more than 100 megasamples in SISO mode. So it's really useful. And one more interesting feature, this chip has 4 GPIOs. So I do, and I think it's be good to do GTAC. So when I do GTAC over these GPIOs using a simple bing banging using libusb, just to rewrite the full FPGA image, it took me almost 40 minutes. That's not something, it's not really user experience you want. After optimization in libusb, doing multiple transactions, so I was able to achieve only 27. So that was not usual anymore. But using 8058 macro control built into this chip, I was able to get initial performance below 4 minutes, and doing assembler optimization of bit banging, I was able to get like a minute, slightly more than a minute. And it's and the minute is okay. So you can wait a minute to upload the new image. It's not an hour. Another challenge for doing transformation in this chip, it has limited number of endpoints, actually 4 endpoints, and each endpoint can have 4 kilobytes before maximum. So in doing like a real massive operation, it might be a problem, and actually it was. When I start, when I wrote initial design using 1 endpoint, I could achieve on transmission up to 160 megabytes per second and 128 on the receive side. So what I did, called interleave mode, when I send odd packets to 0 endpoint and even packets to first endpoint. So it's actually doubled the FIFO size because it's operational kind of doing at the same time. And I could achieve more speed. Initially, RIX was more. Actually, RIX get more gain than 2x. I don't know why. But the real disadvantage of it, you need to take care of some like USB timeout events. And when you get USB timeout event on first endpoint, and you don't get any feedback from 0 endpoint, your data can be messed up. So your handling in the scheme is not so easy. Yeah, initially I wanted to add CDC interface for our GPS and SIM card, but actually there's no more endpoints to do this, and that's why it's not exported as usual CDC ACM device. And another thing that I noticed, that working over libusb with more than 250 megabytes per second, it's very, you can get the same jitter as in PCI Express mode. So even doing real-time kernel, real-time option for stock kernel, doesn't help much. So it definitely helps, but it's not like a complete remedy for this. So probably kernel driver will help, but right now we don't want to do it, at least right now. But for other speeds, that's USB 3 is great. So what's look like in FPGA? Oh, we try to do our FPGA design as simple as possible to use like the least dependency possible. So, and it's like two buses. One bus is a 64-bit 125 megahertz. It's like DMA bus, high-speed bus, and another is XCAS bus for peripherals. So we have simple UR, simple A2C, and we have a special course like USPI course for doing firmware update and to store some extra data, for example, some calibration data and other things. And we have USB 2 core for things, for the reason where PCI Express doesn't work. And also we introduced RISC-V soft core. Initially it's using only for USB 2 enumeration, so USB 2 enumeration is done in soft core, but it's very useful for other any applications. We can do like tuning from soft core and doing some commands, some calibration, some like any other scheme. So what's current utilization? So we are using 35 RTX now. Actually, we occupy 100% of BRAM. It's mostly to do RX-FIFO and TX-FIFO, but it can be reduced. It's like overkill to work well with any system. For example, if I use Atom motherboard or Xeon motherboard, I can like use 1/4 of this before it will work without any endurance or overruns. But using on my laptop that has this fancy 4K screen, and when you do switching between windows, it can easily get bus stop for some time, and without proper buffering you can get the same level of performance. So for some system, it's a must. So we don't do any DSP here, so it's completely free. And we want to use it as an extra accelerator here. We are thinking of doing some acceleration for 4G, for LTE and other networks, but right now there's no release yet. And you can actually, it's almost 1/4 of LUT, so you can add any other you want. So as mentioned, we had USB 2 support. Mostly, not as I mentioned, not all mini PCI Express from Factor actually have PCI Express lanes, and not all users actually need 100 plus megasamples per second. But using it for like Raspberry Pis and the other stuff, it'd be really useful for. Currently, I have an implementation of ULPI interface to endpoints. The enumeration is already done. But no host libraries is provided yet, so I can start developing for this. But hope to finish this work right after we ship the board. So what's current status of software? Actually, all our host libraries and kernel driver for PCI Express is already on GitHub, so you're welcome to use it for X6 or any other projects. And we provide some support for third parties. Definitely, we provide SOAP SDR plugin. Actually, it's not all feature implemented yet, but we are working with them. So if you have some application in mind, so let us know. We'll test whether this feature works fine. Definitely, GROSM SDR works. fine, then we started it, time with tech support. It was discussed yesterday. Post mature Excel there, use our native interface. It was really interesting because in our stack, only Osmo 2x that was dependent on UHD, like took really LibBoost and tons of other develop dependencies. And when we switch to using the 6x, we can get rid of like tons of unneeded dependency. The FPGA code is not published yet, so it will be published as we ship the board. And we are working on multi-x synchronization right now. And definitely we want to get the more user experience, more like better user experience. So if you know what to test, so tell us, we'll definitely test this. So when we get everything all working, so we think what to do next. So, and initially, we think that crowd support was a great idea to push X-Trix. So, and one thing was what to actually put on crowd supply, because we had so many ideas of X-Trix that can be combined with different FPGA options, with different temperature. It can be industrial or commercial. It can has a GPS or can be without GPS. So initially we want to put many options, but it is a really bad idea for crowd source. It's more likely you'll get like few pieces of that, few pieces of that, few pieces of that, and you'll run out in the higher cost, and you had just to increase price for the most options. So that's why on crowd supply we just make one thing for each option. So it was one X-Trix, one adapter for USB-3, one PCI Express to mini PCI Express adapter, and one massive MIMO package. So since it's just one USB-3 adapter, I think it's a good idea to put everything we can do, everything we can imagine into the single adapter. So it's what looks like our first design. In center, if it's not clear, it's a OLED display that can actually display not just text, it can display graphics. It can draw, like initially was idea to put some spectrum here and other fancy stuff. But we were afraid of doing another year of development on this. So we get rid of this. Yeah, you can connect the display driver later. So it's a brief history of our USB adapter history. So this picture of our first revision, actually it's free revision already. And the last revision used 6-layer boards just to get rid of emissions on USB 3 lanes and PCI Express lanes, because current design has a high speed lanes on top layer, and you actually can see it in spectrum. So actually what our final design looks like, it's in scene model, almost the same but without display. Yeah, it's here. Actually I can pass around if somebody hasn't seen it. So what's interesting in our design? So as I said, we are fighting with power consumption, and we want to have this SDR to be passively cooled. So that's why we introduced a special thermal optimization. So our case actually is a heat sink for the board. So this aluminum brick in center is actually right below the LMS7 chip. So when you screw the board, it will attach to that heat stick. And all the excessive heat will be dissipated onto the case. So it's what's inside. to this brick, and it what will look like when we get the final board. So actually our boards have been manufactured right now. We'll get during the next week, and we can test everything is USB free. But yeah, another reason for that fancy board, you can actually remove the PCB from the case and work on table without case, or you can install it in the case, so it's up to you. Another product we put on Crowd Supplied was our PCI Express to Mini PCI Express adapter. The main reason for that was since our X6 board utilized two PCI Express lanes, and there are like no adapter on the market that actually used two PCI Express lanes. So our adapter use standard PCI Express X4 to our Mini PCI Express a socket. So it actually used two lanes, and actually it has preamps, LNAs, JTAG, and other stuff.
That said, I should want to add that if you don't need all this fancy stuff, like no LNAs, no amps, no X2 PCI Express, you can buy a very simple Mini PCI Express to typical PCI Express on Alibaba for like, you know, $5 or something like this.
Yeah, the only limitation, it will be just one lane. So it's like performance for our boards. So it has pre-driver, it's almost 20 dB the wall band. Actually, it has a small gain on low frequency, but we'll optimize it due to low capacitors. And LNA gain is not so linear, but it's how the LNA almost works here. So what's overall status of our Crowd Supply campaign? So there's good news and bad news. Good news, so we have all our hardware design finished and final prototypes, either we get them or been manufactured and get them soon. So no more optimizations are planned, just like we need to manufacture it. The bad thing, actually, we can't deliver initial date because one of components is only will be in July. It's actually our crystals, and we can't just use another crystal because there's no options for the price performance. So what will be in future? So since Crowd Supply version has just one X-Trix, we are thinking to do two options, like pro options, mostly used for industrial embedded applications, and light options that use small FPGA and for commercial usage. And X-Trix, it's not just a board, it's almost a framework we'll be using to build more products. And currently there are two things we're thinking about. It's M2 version, but for M2 it's always complicated which form factor in which key to utilize. So you have a good idea, so please give us feedback, because for us it's really hard to guess. And another thing we are thinking about to do is X-Trix with power amplifier built-in. They may be during this year, or may well not. We'll see. So, thank you.
As far as I understood you, you are not doing digital signal processing on FPGA at the moment, or?
Yeah. Because everything is done on a LIMS chip.
So you are streaming for digital baseband,
yeah.
through it. Okay.
Well, I mean, there is a downsampler built into the LMS7 chip, so we can sample at a higher frequency than what we are streaming.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. So you said you have a native backend for Osmotic Rx, or something like that.
Native what?
Yeah, native support for Osmotic Rx. Yeah. It's
yeah. But so we are not talking about the UHD one then.
Yeah.
Okay. And where's that?
Like. It's on all GitHub.
In your GitHub.
Yeah.
Okay. Not in the Osmocom one, right?
Not the Osmocom.
Okay. Are there plans to?
Yeah, there is a plan.
Put them together, or?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's need to do like more refactoring. Because what I did, I removed all UHD stuff and put my stuff, so it can't be used with UHD. So we need to decide how to do better merge of this, because there's no like abstraction in Osmotic Rx to use one or other mode. So I had to replace some holes to be it more like compatible with Xtrix.
The cheap approach is what we do in Osmo BTS, which would basically be to simply link. So when you build Osmo TRX, you link one executable that talks to UHD, you link another executable that talks to Xtrix, and you link another one that talks to libusrp. And I think it's fine. I mean, in the end, we're not talking about a 200 megabyte large executable, but a very small binary. So I think it's okay. Then this way, we don't need to introduce now big infrastructural changes. So we just it's just linking different object files, and we create one binary for each target. I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, that can work.